This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Congress still has crucial work to do beyond an impeachment investigation. I'm David Brancaccio. The investigation of the president is complicating things for congressional budget negotiators. Although the drop-dead date is November 21st, Congress only has 8 working days left when both houses are in session to come up with a way to keep government funded. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, how are the budget negotiations going?
Very slowly, David. Congress has to pass. The president has to sign 12 spending bills. That was supposed to be done before the government's new fiscal year started October 1st. It wasn't. Instead, Congress passed what's called a continuing resolution, temporary funding.
And the Trump investigation does not foster a conciliatory mood?
It does not. It just aggravates the gridlock. Congress could pass another continuing resolution that would keep the government going through the end of the year. But when it expired, lawmakers would have to deal with this all over again. At that point, the Senate could be in the middle of an impeachment trial, and without funding, the government shuts down.
And how are federal agencies doing?
It's really hard for them to plan. Continuing resolutions can also force agencies to keep spending on stuff they don't want. Todd Harrison at the Center for Strategic and International Studies remembers this happening when the Department of Defense was trying to phase out the C-17 cargo jet.
Then that money would continue production of that, even though DOD didn't want to, and they're trying to get permission from Congress to not buy any more of the jets.
Now, Harrison says the Pentagon can try to stall so it doesn't have to spend the money right away.
Nancy, thank you. The 100 share index in London is down slightly 3 points. U.S. stock index futures are little changed. Is the world a better place if two of the mobile phone carriers merge? In a divided 3-2 vote, the FCC has approved the T-Mobile-Sprint combination. State attorneys general could still challenge.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
The Berlin Wall came down 30 years ago Saturday. We've been reporting on the wild amount of money Germany opted to spend to unite East and West, the equivalent of $30,000 per person over 30 years. Now, what if the U.S. spent that kind of money to reunite an economically divided America? That's maybe $10 trillion. Experts say gaps between booming and lagging areas are set to get worse in the U.S., given technology. The McKinsey Global Institute has mapped this out across more than 300 cities and 3,000 counties as part of a Future of Work forecast this year. Katie George is a senior partner at McKinsey. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about the geography of opportunity. Do you see a danger that many places in America get left behind as the workplace changes over the next few years and decades?
We definitely see that there's going to be an increasing separation between winners and losers geographically across the United States, unless there's interventions to change that.
this is higher resolution analysis than saying rural versus urban.
That's right. It's one of the things that's most interesting is to see how complex this story is, in that there are cities that have a lot of momentum, and there are also cities that are trailing. And similarly, on the rural side, you see some rural areas that have found a way to continue to modernize the skill sets of their local workforces.
Talk a little bit more about in the trailing places. Like, what's wrong there?
I think there are a couple of things that are challenges in the trailing places. One of the things that we see in all geographies is that there's going to be a tremendous change in the kind of work that needs to get done. People will need to use new skills. They will need to be able to use digital in a new way, to use data in a new way. And in some of the trailing cities and in some of the trailing rural areas, you see that the workforce is not prepared for that.
I'm a little worried looking at the report about people who are office workers and also people who are in food preparation and, from our own reporting, people in retail. Those didn't look like huge areas of job growth.
What our analysis looked at was basically, if you look at the tasks that the job does, how often are those tasks the kind of repeatable tasks that could be easily automated? So are many lawyers' jobs, by the way. So it's not just about high wage versus low wage. And then, of course, the sector I most focus on, which is manufacturing, has a lot of roles that are going to be most impacted.
Let's talk about that. What has to be done to fuel jobs that are oriented toward making things?
As we've studied the most advanced manufacturing facilities around the world, one of the things we see is that they're not fully automating production with robotics. They're using robots in really smart ways, but they're actually augmenting the workers.
Where have you seen some places that are effectively doing that?
We found 26 sites to date that really stand out at being able to adopt these technologies in a way that really move the needle. But they are clustered in Europe and in Asia.
Not so many in the United States on that list of 26?
So far, we have found two of the 26 that are in the United States.
There may be people who hear this and say, we'd like to change that. Is this a problem that's amenable to government spending?
This problem is amenable to both government and private sector spending. Certainly, reskilling the workforce is key. We also know that some parts of the sector have been slow to invest in new technologies, in part because it's hard to actually invest in these new technologies in a way that creates real returns in the near term. And so some of the research we're doing is trying to figure out what is the recipe for investing in new technology and getting it to pay off. And we think we have some insights there.
Katie George is senior partner at the McKinsey Consultancy. We're posting a link to that Future of Work report at marketplace.org, where all of our Reunification of America coverage is accumulating. Tomorrow, we talk to an economist who argues that with interest rates this low, now is the time to borrow and spend on things that boost productivity and future prosperity. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.